brought to you by Penguin.
Secrets of the Railway Girls by Maisie Thomas. Read by Julia Franklin. Chapter 1. Late November 1940. Well, wonders would never cease. Dot stared across the kitchen at Reg. Gawped would be a better word. There stood Reg, her not-so-loving husband, in his Sunday suit, holding his Homburg in his hands, his slicked-down hair thinner than it used to be, and his once firm neck looking stringy above his collar and tie. Just come home from being interviewed to be an ARP warden. Reg, working for air raid precautions. Reg looked from Dot to Sheila and Pammy, their two daughters-in-law, who were sitting with Dot at her kitchen table, here to enjoy a secret meeting about Christmas, while the children played tiddlywinks in the front parlour. Other folks kept the front parlour for best, meaning it was hardly ever used. And Dot, nothing if not house-proud, had been the same for years. But once her family had expanded and a new generation had come along, she'd adopted a more flexible approach. "Really, Mother," Pammy had once remarked, "it'd be far more appropriate for us to sit in the parlour and the children to play at the kitchen table." But that wouldn't have suited Dot. Her kitchen was her natural place. She'd grown up in a kitchen, enveloped by the aroma of onion stew, with a bottomless basket of darning in the corner, and more sharp elbows and scubby knees than you could shake a stick at. Meat had been scarce for the likes of her family, and what meat they did have went on Dad's plate, and then later, in smaller portions, on the plate of each son, as he started work. Working daughters were expected to get by on bread and carrot and sweet mash, same as always. Folk today didn't know they'd been born. Any road, she loved her kitchen, did Dot, and she loved nought better than having her family crammed round her table, tucking into a tasty meal into which she had poured all her loving skill. When she dreamed of the end of the war, that was what she imagined. Not bunting and street parties, not deliriously happy crowds whooping and singing as they surged through the middle of town, but her beloved family, squeezed around her kitchen table, all of them. Please let her boys come home. Archie and Harry, her sons, both safe and sound, with no nightmares and no missing limbs. That was what she prayed for every night.
"What do you think?" asked Reg. "Of me, being an ARP man, what do you think?"
Dot blinked. Was he really asking her opinion? Ever since the boys were small, he had derived pleasure from doing her down in front of them. Did he even care what she thought? And what did she think? She could hardly say, "You spent the first year of the war at my kitchen table waiting for me to put your dinner in front of you, and I thought you'd be there for the duration."
"I think it's grand," Pammy declared.
"Aye, Reg," said Dot. "Good for you. We all have to pull our weight."
"I reckoned it was time for me to sign up," said Reg, "after all the air raids we've had."
God, yes. They'd lived with air raids since late summer. The whole of Manchester had been affected one way or another, as bombers had flown over time and again, dropping their deadly cargo of oil bombs and high explosives, the intimidation increasing after the Battle of Britain ended. In recent weeks, the abattoir had been hit, as had the Brookbaum tea warehouse. The damage to Salford Town Hall had resulted in the burial of many records, though not in the burial of any people, thank God. And mercifully, there had been no casualties when Manchester Royal Infirmary's nurses' home was hit. After the numbers of dead and injured in the bombings throughout October, it seemed there hadn't been so many casualties in...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?